Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. First of all, happy Lunar New Year to those who celebrate it. Today, we're talking about an iconic Korean dish, kimbap. It's a dish made from cooked rice and other ingredients that are rolled in a dried sheet of seaweed. It's then cut up and sliced and served in bite-sized pieces. In Korean, gim refers to the edible seaweed, and bap kind of refers to cooked rice. You may be reminded of maki sushi, or as our friends at Kimbap Lab have described it, you can think of it as the famous Korean mixed rice dish, bibimbap, but in a roll. Here in the studio with me is Sarah Lee, co-founder of Kimbap Lab, which you can find in the food hall at Whole Foods Williamsburg in Brooklyn. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So a little bit about our guest. Originally from Chicago, Sarah now lives here in Brooklyn, New York. 12 years ago, she left the design industry to explore opportunities in food, and she's never turned back. While she was working in the food industry in Seoul, she met her Kimbap Lab co-founder, Chef Lee, who happens to be a celebrity chef back in Korea. In 2014, Sarah and Chef Lee teamed up to host the first Korean gluten-free pop-up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where their version of kimbap first debuted to very popular crowds. And since then, she's gone all in with kimbap. Before we dig into it, sometimes we like to start our show with, what's the best thing you ate recently? So, Sarah, I'll go first so you have a second to think about it. But last night, I stopped by Chelsea Market with some friends. They recommended the beef noodle soup from Very Fresh Noodles. And it really was amazing. You know, just like doing one thing really well and specializing in it, it really shows. And the broth was so rich. It had like ton of beef in it, and also kind of good for like, you know, a wintry day, even though it's getting warmer now. And the noodles themselves were actually really thick, like hand cut or like hand sliced noodles, but really chewy. Cause sometimes I feel like, you know, people don't really put in the energy to like make it as chewy and it feels flat. And with these noodles, they stayed like chewy throughout my entire huge bowl of noodles. I was really impressed.
That's awesome. That sounds so amazing. Gosh. Sometimes I do forget what I ate the morning of.
Totally
but,
fine.
I would say, you know, I do have, some soup that when my mom's in town, she makes and she stocks up and we freeze it. So her beef broth is my, I guess, most recent exciting dish. You know, all my meals aren't so exciting because I'm always on the run. But, you know, she boils it for 24 hours. with bone, and yeah, that's our favorite, and that's kind of like our secret go-to in the fridge. We're like, okay, well, you know, if we're really craving for something really nice and warm, like, awesome, that's what we'll eat. So
yeah. So we'll probably touch on that later.
Yeah.
But okay, kimbap now. What's your personal experience with it? Did you grow up eating it?
Yeah, so kimbap is Korean comfort food. And I would say almost every, you know, Korean child has eaten it either at home or at restaurants or, you know, just at school growing up. And it was in my lunchbox. It was always served at a lot of parties, family parties. And, you know, if you grew up in Korea, I think a lot of kids, they ate this all the time, you know. And mm-hmm. when I was living there very briefly, I would eat it almost every day. It was like the best grab and go meal, and mm-hmm. Very filling and really good modest prices, especially in Korea.
Yeah, it's like a humble food,
yeah,
but
yeah.
yet so colorful, and it's a full meal.
Yeah, it's a full meal.
Okay, so it's like you can find it at what, 7-Eleven? Everyone eats it, whether you're like, you know, fancy or not.
Yeah, yeah. In Korea, I mean, average prices are like $1.50, you know, and it's at every corner, every convenience store, a lot of mom and pop shops. And yeah, and if not, you can always make it at home.
Yeah. And do you know if it's been around for a while, or is it like a fairly new trend?
No, it's been around for a while. I don't know exactly at what year or mm-hmm. generation it started in Korea, but for a really long time, at least since, you know, since I was really young, I grew up with eating kimbap.
What about here in the States? Do you feel like, you know, Korean food at this point is so well known that it doesn't require an explanation, or are people still like, why does this sushi not have fish in it?
Yeah, we get that quite a bit. So, like, especially in the beginning when we first introduced kimbap to the customers at Whole Foods, visually when you see it looks like sushi, and then customers would order, okay, well, do you have salmon or do you have tuna? And we're like, no, well, and then when we try to explain it, everything's cooked. After they give it a try, they're like, wow, this is amazing. You know,
it's different.
Yeah, it's different. The rice is seasoned with sesame oil. So that's kind of the base that we try to explain to customers. Sesame oil, salt, and sesame seeds.
Oh, cool. Is it all kimbap is seasoned that way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it has you can definitely taste it in the rice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's walk through some of like your menu items at Kimbap Lab. Yeah, what do you guys offer?
So we started to offer mainly four main protein items: bulgogi beef, spicy pork, tuna salad, so tuna with mayo, and yubu, which is stir-fried tofu skins. And we started with those because we wanted to see how the market and the customers would react to it, instead of having a crazy extensive kimbap menu. So far, it's been really great, and they're all equally popular. So, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. All equally popular. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so how do you differentiate from the other options in the city?
A lot of the kimbap places that are open now in Manhattan, or, you know, in other areas, Queens or even New Jersey, what we offer different is that we have a line of sauces and pickles that you can eat with our kimbap. Mm-hmm. And normally and traditionally, you don't dip kimbap in sauces. Mm-hmm. This is something that my partner and I, we randomly came up with in a car while doing some R&D in Korea. We were in between meetings and we grabbed some kimbap because that was like the fastest and the most filling thing, and it's actually our favorite. So mm-hmm. we had all these sauces in the car that we...
So you guys were doing development in Korea for different sauce bases.
Right, just for a different project.
Oh, okay.
And we had some in the car and we're like, you know what? Let's just let's just test it out. You know, let's just dip it and, you know, try it out. And then we're like, wow.
Like, why has no one done this?
And we looked at each other and we're just like, what the heck? Like, okay, this is it. This is it. And yeah, and that's how it started.
So yeah, tell us about the sauces.
Yeah, so the sauces that we offer right now, our signature sauce is the samjang aioli, which is a mix of gluten-free gochujang and soybean paste, and we make an aioli out of that. We also have spicy mustard aioli, seaweed puree, which is now one of our most popular sauces, and customers love it. It has a lot of umami, and kimchi sriracha. Mm-hmm. So those are
And these sauces were specifically developed for the four types of kimbap you offer?
Yeah. You know, originally we had like eight sauces that we wanted to offer. And after kind of testing it out with the kimbaps and just asking friends and doing a lot of tastings to manage production, we're mm-hmm. like, you know, let's start with four. And we can always add more, we can take out and so forth. But those were the four that were distinct enough from each other where customers would come back and try other sauces with other kimbaps. So they can create their own combinations. Mm-hmm. There are times when we would suggest, you know, our favorite combinations. But all the kimbaps taste really great with all the sauces. So it's not like you can only have the beef with the samjang aioli. The beef mm-hmm. tastes really great with the spicy mustard or the kimchi sriracha. So
being in Whole Foods, are you guys very like health oriented? Are you going for the organic ingredients?
Yeah, so Whole Foods, you know, there are certain food restrictions and sub ingredient restrictions just on our menu. But before that, our approach to kimbap is we wanted to make this gluten free. So our concept is gluten free Korean. And we wanted to stick to that. That wasn't a requirement, but that's something that we like really felt passionate about, and no one was doing this. So, you know, I'm like, we need to do this. With that, we get all of our proteins from Whole Foods, mm-hmm. and that's something that's exciting to offer to the customers. I always try to mention that because that's really rare to find really good sourced, beef and pork when you go to a lot of Asian restaurants. And when I talk to a lot of parents and a lot of customers coming through Kimbap Lab, that's really something exciting to share. So,
mm-hmm. So you mentioned Korean food and making it gluten-free and how that hasn't really been done before. And I think that's true. The concept of gluten-free or seeing that little GF icon in Asian food menus doesn't really exist. So what was the, like, how did you guys approach it? Like, why did you even make that, like, you know, challenge?
Yeah, so a while back when I was living in Korea, just like a quick backstory of why I wanted to really push for more gluten-free Korean. Number one, it didn't even exist in Korea years ago. I'm not really sure if it's common now, but I remember getting really sick with the food for about 6 months. And
oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, for 6 months. And I had a lot of digestion issues. And the doctors didn't really diagnose, hey, you know, you should think about maybe going gluten-free or, you know, just kind of different, changing the diet in that way. But when I saw an herbalist, he said the number one thing that you should cut out is wheat flour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. And it didn't really click to me then that, oh, maybe that would help.
A diet change like that would have such a big effect.
And so, I mean, of course, like he's like, cut out alcohol and this and that, but that was kind of the main thing, and I got better. And so I'm not, you know, I don't have a really extreme sensitivity to gluten, but at that time I remember that changing something like that drastically just
made everything better.
And then when I came to New York 4 or 5 years ago, there was a huge gluten-free kind of trend, and, you know, and also a lot of people were talking about that, and I looked into it, and I talked to my partner, and I said, you know, I don't think anyone is really doing gluten-free Korean. I do make gluten-free Korean food at home. It was never discussed, and I've never had gluten-free Korean food at any restaurant. So let's kind of entertain that thought and see what we can do. We didn't want to, we wanted to make sure that the food will taste good. So we didn't want to compromise with that.
How do you do that? How do you keep it tasty?
You know, so one thing that my partner and I don't really like is the taste of tamari, the gluten-free soy sauce.
Okay.
Just the actual, if you just
and
have the
tamari. And soy sauce is so essential to Asian food.
Right. Okay. And so what we did was, and what we still do now, is we take that and we make it taste better by adding kombu.
What's that?
Kombu is like dashima, like kelp, and the natural, you know, umami
of the sea.
Yeah, umami of the sea, and we boil it with the tamari and the onions, and so we're kind of making the actual individual gluten-free ingredients taste better by using other natural ingredients.
That's so cool.
And so that's how we started developing all of our marinades and all of our sauces and pickles. We're like, yeah, that's...
Oh, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome back. So, Sarah, will you be offering more gluten-free Korean food options on the menu? Or, I mean, this is strictly called Kimbap Lab.
Yeah, no. One great thing about adding the word lab is it's a lab. So we do like to always test out new recipes and kind of change up the menu a little bit. Kimbap will always be the staple on our menu. And our core, over the last few months, or since fall, we introduced bibimbap bowls.
Mm.
And a lot of the customers, when they first
now
came,
it's like
and,
kimbap in a bowl,
yeah, or kimbap deconstructed.
Okay,
so it sounds funny. It's actually bibimbap and kimbap, but in the beginning, kimbap, when people didn't really know what it was, we're like, it's bibimbap in a roll, and now it's kimbap deconstructed. So, as funny as it sounds, but, you know, it's a good way to explain it. And then we also, during the winter months, we introduced our Korean beef broth.
Ah, is it your mother's recipe?
Not exactly, but a little bit. A mix of, you know, our chefs and then also, you know, like a Korean mom's beef broth recipe. And the vegan broth as well. So it's been doing really well. Not today, but because it's so warm today. But so that's been selling out.
That's really cool. All right. So for everyone who has some gluten-free sensitivity, there are options out there.
Yeah.
So tell us about your co-founder, Chef Lee, and what's it like being a celebrity chef in Korea and also working with you here on Kimbap Lab?
Yeah. When we first met, he was just a line cook before he became a celebrity, and I was a manager working for another celebrity chef in Korea at that time. And, you know, that's when our friendship started. It's been about 8 years now. We've known each other for that long, but I would say actually working together the last like three, four years. He first came to New York, as you mentioned earlier, like 3.5 years ago.
To do the pop-up with you. Sold him on the idea.
Yeah, and he's like, I've never done a gluten-free Korean menu in my life. And I'm like, let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, these are the ingredients, and let's you know, create something. And he was just like, it was kind of tough at first because he didn't really understand the concept. But, you know, when we did a 6-course pop-up, 3 seatings. We sold mm-hmm. out of tickets within a week.
Wow.
And we didn't know anyone in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like doing this in a one day, 3 seatings. And he was looking at the space with all these customers. He's like, oh, wow, there's a demand. You mm-hmm. know, people are interested. Mm-hmm. And we're like, let's do it. So, but now he's a celebrity. And, you know, like he, over the years, he was invited to be on different cooking shows and, you know, TV shows and stuff.
He's
and
just so like he really just became, charismatic. And
yeah. And he's very genuine, super talented. He's one of the most talented Korean chefs in Korea that I know. And he used to have a restaurant, and that was my one and only favorite restaurant in Korea. So, yeah.
So what made you guys decide to go for the Kimbap Lab concept? You know, the grab and go at Whole Foods as opposed to continuing this kind of like larger format dinner?
So we were trying to think of what is a really great grab and go, manageable kind of something different. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody knows bibimbap, but no one was really doing kimbap the way we approached it with the sauces and pickles. And when we pitched this to Whole Foods, they were like, amazing. Because the colors and just the presentation. Another thing that we actually do a little differently mm-hmm. compared to other kimbaps and the traditional kimbaps is that all of our vegetables are not cooked. It's fresh.
Mm.
A lot of times they're, you know,
it's cooked ingredients, right? Or
no, it's so traditionally you cook the carrots or mm-hmm. the spinach, you know,
so the traditional kimbap,
yeah, traditional kimbap is all, yeah. Everything's cooked from the meat to the, you know, the vegetables. For us, we wanted to balance the texture. Mm-hmm. So we have the cooked rice and the marinated meats, the cooked marinated meats with fresh vegetables. So when you eat it, it's like, oh, you're almost like eating a really hearty salad in a bite or something. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh,
and that
this
does
is very
cater
different.
To definitely like Williamsburg taste.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, definitely
the salad aspect.
Yeah, and we use very little rice in our rolls, and we pack it with a lot of protein and vegetables. So our customers really appreciate that.
They're the
like,
ratio.
Oh, yeah, the ratio is definitely. They're like, wow, it's very, you know, it's great, but I think that this concept, it is truly like a fast food Korean concept, you know, but very healthy. And because the sauces is not really like soy sauce, that you can actually eat this in the car mm-hmm. and not spill everything all over.
Good point.
You know, you can eat it on the train. You can eat it while you're walking. Mm-hmm. Some customers, they want it cut just like the whole roll in 2 pieces. So they eat it like almost like a burrito, you know, on the run. So there's just different, you know, ways you can serve this kimbap, but
yeah, it can be fast. It can be healthy at the same time. Yep. That's cool. So what's the reception been like so far?
So far, it's been really great. We have a lot of regulars. We have people coming every day for lunch or people grabbing dinner on the way home after work. And in the beginning, we had to try to do a lot of tastings and sampling, and, you know, I would explain to customers what it is. And once they looked at it and tasted the samples, and they're just like, I don't know, you know, they're like, this is actually it's really tasty, and price point is great. And the Whole Foods customers are really just generous and very, very open mm-hmm. to trying different things. So we're very fortunate to have such great customers and the community in Williamsburg. A lot of people know us, you know, we know a lot of customers by name, and, you know, they kind of like know our staff. And so everybody's just, they know like what order, what kimbaps they get with which sauce and pickle combination.
How many slices they want in the roll.
Yeah. They like all the little details. Like some people are like never get cucumbers and extra carrots or, mm-hmm. you know, even to that, like we know. So
there's that community aspect. That's really cool that you can still do it in kind of a fairly large supermarket chain. What about people from Korea? Are you guys famous there?
Yeah, interesting that you ask. We do surprisingly get a lot of tourists walking through.
On purpose to seek you guys out?
To seek us out. Williamsburg is not really an easy place to find for tourists sometimes unless they, you know, come out to Brooklyn. But they say, wow, it's one of the best kimbaps they've ever had. And we get that comment a lot. There's a lot of blogs about it and, you know, a lot of social media posts from other Korean natives or tourists and, you know, and visitors. They're very supportive. Another reason why they also seek us out is to see if my partner is working or if he's around,
that's so
you
cute.
Know. So when he is in town, we'll have like a couple hundred people walking through our Whole Foods, and they're like, oh,
everyone else who's shopping is like, wait, what is happening here?
I know. I'm like, it's like Koreatown.
Top star.
I know. So, and it's fun. And some, like, no matter how he makes the kimbap, they're just like, his hands is blessed that roll. I will take that, you know? So it's cute. But we do get a lot of great feedback from just the Korean community in New York too.
Yeah. They're receptive to like the sauces and the innovations that you bring to something so staple to the cuisine.
Yeah. They at first they're like, oh, we don't need sauces and pickles. And we're like, oh, well, you know,
give it a try.
It comes with it, you know, and then they're hooked. So they all have their, you know, favorite sauces and pickles, and they're always asking us like, are you going to just sell the sauces one day? Or are you going to jar it? And, you know, we're working on it. Like that's something that we also want to offer to our customers in the near future, but one at a time, you know?
Yeah. So I guess that kind of leads to my next question. I mean, what's next for you and Kimbap Lab?
So we are working on slowly expanding, not just in Manhattan and in New York, the Northeast region, but also bringing this out to the West Coast. And that's kind of one of my passions to be bi-coastal, I guess. And I think that this gluten-free Korean concept would do extremely well out there. A lot of visitors from California, Koreans and non-Koreans, are always asking about it and inquiring, hey, you know, can you please come out here? We're like, I know, we're working on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have been around now for a little bit over a year now.
Yeah.
So it's still so young. Wow.
Yeah. So still young. And being inside the Williamsburg Whole Foods, that was our first and only location. So to start there and to start just introducing Kimbap Lab, it's pretty exciting.
Yep, and the jars and the sauces, and maybe you'll find them at every Whole Foods. Who knows?
Yeah. We want to
position for success.
We wish we could be in every Whole Foods across the country, but we're starting, you know, one store at a time.
Totally fair. Okay, and so last question: what do you predict is the next big trend or grab and go thing from Korean cuisine?
Ooh, next big trend for grab and go?
Or just Korean cuisine in general?
Oh, Korean cuisine. Oh, gosh. I feel like all the Korean food trends are just all happening at once, like the Korean fried chicken and then the rice bowls and then the barbecue. I want to say that something that's healthier, you know, and you know, a lot of times just because it's Asian, just because it's Korean doesn't mean it's really healthy, you know, but something similar to, I guess, a kimbap, a healthy kimbap, or, you know, a healthier rice bowl option, you know, more than rice bowls, but like salad bowl, but with the Korean proteins and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just feel like there's so much we could do. And
yeah, just like making endless. It more accessible and healthy for people. Right. It does sound like you're taking that approach specifically with your kimbap.
Yeah. And, you know, people sometimes ask, oh, is this like really traditional, authentic? When you try our kimbap, like close your eyes and try our kimbap, all the authentic flavors are there. But, you know, food is always evolving.
Yep.
And it's always evolving even in Korea. And it's hard to keep up. But basically, you know, it's like we want to offer what we like to eat and how we like to eat it. Mm-hmm. And if people like to eat it, then that's great. You know, if people like that concept. So.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you
for joining us on the show. And that just wraps everything up.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so what's the best way for our listeners to stay up to date on news from Kimbap Lab?
Oh, so definitely follow us on our Instagram. Our handle is Kimbap Lab. And we have updates. We have some other information on our website, kimbaplab.com. Definitely, you know, send us messages. I'm pretty responsive to.
And you're there at Kimbap Lab?
I'm at Kimbap Lab almost every day. So you will see.
Everyone say hi to Sarah. Yeah.
Come say hi. I'm usually there. Yeah.
So. Awesome. And for you listeners out there, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our newsletter too. Just go to feastmeetswest.com, hit newsletter, and simply leave your name and email. And we'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Ever wonder what kind of podcast Julia Child would have made? Probably would have been one where she introduced you to all of her latest discoveries and favorite people. And that's exactly the tradition we're following on Inside Julia's Kitchen, the podcast of the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. Join me, Todd Shulkin, your host, and the Foundation's Executive Director, as I bring you inside the Foundation's world to meet the bright lights of today's food universe, just as Julia used to do from her own famous kitchen. New episodes air on Heritage Radio Network Wednesdays at noon Eastern. Listen in.